You are listening to a sermon by Pastor Hoffman of Christ Lutheran Church in Coos Bay, Oregon. Jesus, peace be with you. The sermon for today on this Quasimodo Geniti is according to St. John's Gospel, chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. As I was kind of joking around with one of our members, I said, now here we have a scenario where you have a group of people who are stuck up in a place together and doing a bit of what you might call social distancing themselves from other people, and it made me wonder why the text had no relevance for today. All kidding aside, the truth is the gospel lesson for today is so much bigger than coronavirus. But if you know me, I have to make a joke whenever I can. But in all seriousness, having a sense of curiosity is very good. Even being skeptical is often very common. People often struggle with things they see, let alone things they can't see. Here we have the apostles sitting around locked behind doors, and they weren't planning how to go about spreading the good news of Jesus. They were sitting in the room with the doors locked because Jesus was crucified, and let's face it, they were afraid of persecution. They were afraid of being persecuted by the Jews who called for his crucifixion. They were hiding behind locked doors. The people who had literally walked with God made flesh were afraid. Can you believe that? At this point, Christ was already risen. He fulfilled all righteousness, and yet they were afraid. So why do you think that is? Why do you think these men of God would have anything to fear from the Jews or even the Roman persecutors or anybody else for that matter? They were hiding behind locked doors. The simple truth is the apostles were suffering from a horrible, horrible malady, a malady which infects us even today. They were suffering with the same sin that plagued every person in, well, Oregon, name all 50 states and all of the nations of the world. They stopped trusting in Christ. As a matter of fact, even after our precious Lord and Savior appeared to them in the flesh, the text still implies that they weren't entirely satisfied with him in the flesh standing there. They actually wanted to see his wounds. They wanted to say, well, I see you. Thank you for talking to me, let alone walking through a locked door. How that happened, the Bible doesn't say, but it says the door was locked and Jesus walked in anyway, so nobody's running off at how impressive that is. And yet they still say, after all of that, after everything you've shown me, I want you to show me more. Not good enough, Jesus. From there is where it gets interesting. After Christ was revealed to them, after they had seen him, he didn't offer them some safe haven from angry Jews, did he? He didn't say, look, guys, I found a really good hiding spot. Rather, quite the opposite. He sent them out to spread the good news of salvation in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He sent out his apostoloi, his apostles, his followers, his sent out ones, which is literally what an apostle is. The followers of Christ were sent out to either bring the forgiveness of Christ to those who sought it, or the condemnation of those who continue to reject the message of salvation. That's their job. That is their calling. But it doesn't stop there, though, because remember, in the first time Jesus showed up, there was somebody missing. Thomas. You remember what we always call Thomas? He's the doubting Thomas. We might want to call him the show me Thomas. It's like he's from Missouri or something. Because he had that show me attitude. Better yet, the show me apostles would work as well. Didn't the gospel lesson start with the other apostles hiding in the room with the doors locked? When Jesus came, he had to show the other apostles his wounds before they believed. Interestingly, Thomas wasn't there when Jesus first came. That means he wasn't locked in the room, hiding from the Jews. And when Christ showed himself to Thomas, he emerged from disbelief by proclaiming that Jesus is my Lord and my God, thus showing Jesus the faith that God had given him, the faith that Jesus had promised them in the Holy Spirit, the faith that we are granted in holy baptism with the bringing of the Holy Spirit in the proclaimed word of God in sacrament. But Thomas, poor guy, as sad as his doubt was, we may also rejoice that Thomas was forgiven of sin and doubt. Forgiven for this sin of doubt. This problem isn't only common in the gospel account, is it? This is something that you are guilty of as well. Like show me Thomas, whenever wrong someone, it's put a stain on our heart, doesn't it? Whenever we're wronged by somebody, whenever we feel we've been put out, whenever we feel somebody has done something to us. In the lesson from 1 John 5, we read, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world." I'll say it again. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And he continues, "And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? God has not placed you in a position to muster up the strength or reason to simply accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Remember when Pontius Pilate begged the crowd to choose Jesus? Who should you choose? Should you choose Jesus or should you choose Barabbas? And of course, by their own strength and reason, they chose the murderer, robber, thief, Barabbas. That's where your reason and strength gets you when you're trying to accept Jesus. The attempt ended with our Lord and Savior on the cross. The task of having a Savior is a task God has taken up when he chose to be your God at the beginning of time and at the beginning of your life as a Christian in holy baptism. Thanks be to God, the plan of Christ has taken away your sins. As St. John continues in the epistle, "This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater, for this is the testimony of God that has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe, God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. The Spirit being likened to water and the blood, the means of grace, the sacraments. The Spirit and the water, the Holy Spirit who brings you baptism, who welcomes you into the church by writing your name in the book of life. The blood given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. God is always giving. He is always gracious. He is always merciful. He is always pointing you towards the forgiveness of your sins, because you remember, he did not condemn the apostles for sitting up there and hiding, and he did not condemn Thomas for saying, well, gee, that was neat that you walked through the door, but unless I get to see what they saw, I don't want any part of this. Rather, the continual mission, the continual message of Jesus Christ is the hope that sinners have in the very gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're not baptized, if you have not received this wonderful sacrament, I implore you today to talk to me. Thanks be to God. Jesus Christ did not make his grace dependent on the ability for you to be the kind of person that Christ is. Thanks be to God, you have Christ as your intercessor who gives gifts to the church, not because his church is worthy of them, but because they need them. You need to be washed. You need to be fed. You need to be blessed. You need to be forgiven. And these are the things that Christ has indeed given to his church. Otherwise, he would have given you no gifts at all. As sure as Christ has given it to Thomas and all the apostles to receive the forgiveness of sins, so has he given it to you because of his mercy, because of his death and resurrection, because of the faith God has given you, because of the water and the Holy Spirit, which has washed you and made you his own. Christ has removed the eyes of disbelief that cry, "Show me," and replace them with faith that still says, "My Lord and my God, thy will be done." In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which is all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds in the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.